Our scripture from this, for this morning is taken from the third chapter of John, verses 14 through 21. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe in him stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's own, one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God.
I don't ever remember having had this particular feeling, but in preparing for this sermon, all week it made me happy. It was a happy time. It'll take me a little while to get back to that point, but I'll tell you why I was happy, and then we'll continue on from that point. I'll be curious if you would happen to mention to me if any of that comes to you by the end. Perhaps you could share that with me. Shall we pray? Loving God, might we stand in the light, and might we know that as very good. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes words from one language find their way into another language. They'll find their way literally into the English, for instance. And this morning, we have such an opportunity, I think, because of this, to hear this very familiar text in a new way. We all know that sometimes familiarity, if not generating contempt, kind of takes the edge off of things, because we've seen it at a ball game behind the catcher's plate, behind the home plate. John 3:16. It's that common a thing. But in this case, it is our good fortune that the Greek word cosmos has found its way into the English language. We use that as an English word. We'll talk about the cosmos, or that something is cosmic. And it's translated from the Greek into John 3, the text that we just read. It's translated as world, but we can use both, and I think it's interesting because it seems to give it a little more oomph to try listening to this text with cosmos rather than world. For God so loved the cosmos that he gave his only Son, that whoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the cosmos to condemn the cosmos, but to save the cosmos through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Did you ever think that this text, John 3:16, is all about us and about you? Well, I'm sorry, but actually the first mention here is for God so loved everything. For God so loved the cosmos. It puts us in our place, but it's not a put down. In fact, it's then rather a remarkable thing, because it gets intimate and personal. Because in the entire world, in the entire cosmos, how far does that go? What galaxies does that reach? There is a pathway to not perishing for every one of you. Whosoever in this cosmos believes. That's where we come into the text. We're the whosoever. And we'll come back to that. Furthermore, And we'll take just a minute yet to kind of pluck out this text and look at the texture of it. This reality, this divine intention for redemption and salvation is for everywhere and for everything. God did not send Jesus into the world to condemn the cosmos. Nor did God send his Son into the world or ever have the intention that anything in this world would be abused or used up. But God intended to save the whole world through him, through Jesus. God's eye may be on the sparrow, but it's also on the entire world. And so immediately my thoughts then, as I was thinking about this, went to a much more ancient text, Psalm 24:1, that says, "The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world," and then you get that sort of whosoever, "and all who live in it." And in turn, we don't have to stop here because we can get even more ancient, or at least further back in the story. We go to the very beginning. In the beginning, God created heavens, earth, plants, animals, humans, and he looked at all of it and he said, "It is very, very good." As it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen, amen. Just beautiful grandeur. So John 3:16, in a way, now circles back to the heart of God. For God so loved the world, in the beginning, affirmed, continuing. And God did not send his Son to condemn the world, but to save the world and everything and person in it. Now, this may seem strange, so why was I happy? But after getting to this point in my realizations and in my emotions, I went over to Jewel to buy a York peppermint patty. I thought that would be just the thing, which I do now and then. That's how I spend my pastoral time. And I thought, this grass that I'm walking on, God loves. And these trees that were planted, and everything that I see. So I wondered about the streets and the cement and the cars and the people in them. I don't know what came over me. It just made me so happy to know there wasn't a single thing that God didn't love and care about and want the best for. Nothing out there that was just supposed to be endured or taken advantage of or used up. Everyone in this church, smallest, not yet born, eldest, for God so loved the cosmos. That was a happy feeling that stuck with me, but it happens, however, that John and Genesis also connect in another way. Both acknowledge that this beautiful vision of God has been interrupted. It has been disrupted. It has been distorted. It is fallen. What was so very good so quickly departs from God's intentions. And we call this sin. And so John writes, this is the verdict. "Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed." Now, darkness actually has a very useful function depending on where you're at in life. When I was a child on summer evenings, we'd go into Grandpa and Grandma's, we'd go into town, came from a large extended family. Typically, there would be cousins there, and darkness was perfect for hiding. We'd play hide and go seek. Nothing like darkness to make for good hiding places. Darkness is great for hiding. It's great for not being seen, and that's fine for kids' games. But as adults, we put hiding to a darker use, pardon the pun. And darkness as a biblical image illustrates how often we would conceal the truth about ourselves. You can't see me. After sin came into the world, the first action of the first humans was hiding and concealing. And the question was asked, Adam, where are you? He thought he'd hide behind clothes, and sometimes we think we might hide behind Sunday clothes and behavior and reputation and who we are. But in Genesis 3:10, Adam answered, I heard you in the garden. I was aware of you, God, and I was afraid because I was exposed. I was naked, and so I hid. I did not want to be exposed for who I am. There's many meanings in this text that I won't touch on. It's a very rich text. But I think we have illustrated here this reality, and it is a tension, and it is based on a baseless fear. It's unnecessary. There is an unfounded worry here about God's heart. God is angry. If I am found out, then I will be at risk. I can't afford to be honest. Sometimes I've wondered how many people go through life with that as their life motto. In their marriage, in their church, in their family, in their neighborhoods. I can't afford to be honest. If people knew, if God knew. Well, what can we say? This isn't true. This choice is ours whether we're going to live in darkness or light. And we can be honest. We sing the hymn, Just As I Am. And on the other side of honesty, we have this great affirmation of our text that there is a God that loves the cosmos and went to great lengths to bring everyone into the light and into love, for God did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Now, I'm going to take this a step further. This is a new learning for me. At the pastor peer group that meets here monthly, we ran into an amazing text. Amazing, I guess, because I hadn't appreciated it fully, and it's a wonderful supplement to John 3:17. We're told in John 3:17, God did not come into the world to condemn the world. But we looked at Luke chapter 6, verse 35. There's mention there how we are to love our enemies, and then Luke 6:35 continues, Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and to the wicked. I just think that takes things to another amazing new level. The Most High is kind to the wicked. The part of the world that has become wicked is still an object of God's kindness. Well, yes, that's what our text says. For God so loved the cosmos. It says the same thing in Romans. While we were still objects of wrath, God loved. And so in this text is, on the one hand, this is, I believe, one of the meanings of this, one of the pastoral applications of this that we need to hear, is reassurance. If you're a person that really never wanted to follow Jesus, I can't live up to it, I don't know what it's all about, I'm not worthy, I'm not adequate, it's one step into the light. Because while you're still in the darkness, God's heart is inclined to you. This isn't getting out of an angry position into a love position, it's loved regardless. And if you're a person who has followed Jesus all of your life but haven't quite wanted to commit all of yourself and felt that you needed to hide, step into the light. For God so loved the world. This is also a text, however. Maybe I shouldn't say however. I think I should say in addition. That on the one hand, I think the meaning of it is reassurance, and the other meaning of it is collaboration. Because God has this God so loved the cosmos project, and when we step into the light, then the next steps are, and follow me. I need collaborators in this project of loving the cosmos. That's what God was about and continues to be about. It was on God's heart in the beginning. All of this world, it was seen as being very, very good, and God would love to have that redeemed. And so this redemption project is all-inclusive. Anything that is destructive to the cosmos and to other persons is out of bounds. So where does that take us? Well, creation, care, and sister, care, and brother, care, and pastoral care, and forgiveness, Mennonite disaster service, and what we call peacemaking, which is to love your enemy. If God is kind to the wicked, then it behooves us to ponder this as well. And most assuredly, it takes us to evangelism. The evangel is the good news, to be about good news. It's to tell everyone, come out of the darkness. Quit hiding from Jesus. It's good news. You don't have to hide anymore. I just found that to be a happy message. Wherever I walk, object of God's love. Wherever you go, show it. What can I say? Well, I will say this, that it has been said, and so I won't repeat it other than to just accept this and enjoy and live this in the words that we heard once, and I offer to you again. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Amen.